never dreamed of making a feature film. I didn't even think about it. It was a documentary I wanted to make. And there wasn't any one specific moment. There's dead bodies under the sea. There's dead bodies been falling into the sea for how many? 8, 9 years now. That's what made me write it.
Wonderful Vanessa Redgrave recalling the backstory to her heartbreaking documentary, Sea Sorrow. From Midori House in London, this is The Cinema Show. I'm Ben Rylan. Also ahead.
They discover each other, they discover themselves, and they discover the richness of the world around them.
This year's winner of the Golden Bear at the Berlin Film Festival, Ildikó Enyedi, takes us behind the scenes of her winning film, On Body and Soul. Plus,
through learning to animate, you actually learn so many things. You become a master of every art and art form.
Our grand European tour concludes with an animation festival that's giving the nation of Kosovo a reputation among industry heavyweights. That's all to come on The Cinema Show on Monocle 24. The summer break might be over in Greece and its islands. Most holidayers are now home and the residents back to the urban life routine. But for Athenians, the return to the capital in the fall has a silver lining to it, the Athens International Film Festival. Now, as keen cinema-goers will know, the calendar this time of year is littered with film festivals dotted all around the globe. So what makes Athens worth the price of admission? We sent Natalie Seravikas to find out.
When it comes to European film festivals, cities like Cannes, Venice, or Berlin come to mind. But there's one capital better known for its sun and history that is also hoping to make a mark in its own special way. Since 1995, every fall, the Greek capital comes together to celebrate the art of filmmaking. Over the course of 10 nights, the Athens International Film Festival locally premieres over 100 of the latest and finest of the movie industry, alongside Greek short films, awards and parties, a full program for an enthusiastic public. This year, the opening night of Nichtes Premieras, which translates from Greek as Premiere Night, takes place at the imposing Athens Concert Hall. That's where we meet the festival's artistic director, Lukas Katsikas.
The main goal of the Athens International Film Festival is to present a panorama of filmmaking today, of what's interesting during the cinematic season that we are already into, what's important, what is upcoming, what people need to see, what they need to discover. New films, new directors, new filmmakers, and new regions where cinema is taking place right now in the world and we have no idea of.
How does the Athens International Film Festival distinguish itself from other festivals?
It's a festival made for the audience and receiving the love of the audience, which helps it to, you know, continue.
I know you also have a section on Greek short films.
Through the short films program and the competition, because there's a competition for this particular section, we are trying to highlight several new directors and filmmakers from Greece and giving them the opportunity to become known within the media platform and the audience that we are offering, because they don't get financial help, they don't get the support of the state. And this is very, very encouraging and moving.
Greece hasn't gone through a very difficult financial crisis. It's still undergoing it. Do you think the Athens International Film Festival is helping with rebranding Athens as a destination, especially for this industry?
Definitely so. We received an award as one of the best European festivals right now. And this really, really gives us the opportunity to expand. Apart from that, it's sort of a cultural tourism. We, through the festival and the experience of a festival, we get to introduce our city to people who are not living in the city. It's a city and a country based on civilization for the love of the arts, and this is what we are trying to support from our behalf.
Highlights include Luca Guantanino's Call Me By Your Name, Todd Haynes' Wonderstruck, the latest of Mikael Haneke and Aki Kaurismäki. Over 50,000 people are expected to flock to the 7 participating theaters, a sizable ticket sale for a city of 5 million enduring a crippling economy. But it's not only the impressive movie lineup that's attracting viewers. A number of award-winning filmmakers like Robin Capillo and Lynn Ramsey are invited to present and discuss their new features with the audiences.
Vanessa Redgrave's in Athena.
Guests also include Vanessa Redgrave and producer son Carlo Nero for the screening of Sea Sorrow, a film which marks the acclaimed actress's debut as a director.
Carlo and I are very grateful to the Athens Film Festival for inviting our film.
The documentary highlights the plight of refugees in Europe and also draws on her own personal experiences, like her childhood memories of the Second World War, where she escaped the London bombings by fleeing to the countryside, and where her family responded to the government's call to host other evacuees.
My first two memories, basically, one is hearing the sounds of the air raid warnings. Continually. And I saw these faces of children round me. I didn't know them, they didn't know me. I wanted to tell you that. I refer to that in the film because it's one of my earliest memories. I presume that's why I can't live peacefully without doing something for refugees, especially, obviously, refugee children.
Could you describe the moment where you thought, I'm going to do my directorial debut as a documentary, not as fiction? And what was it exactly, what that moment that triggered your decision to do this?
I never dreamed of making a feature film. I didn't even think about it. It was a documentary I wanted to make. And there wasn't any one specific moment. There's dead bodies under the sea. There's dead bodies been falling into the sea for how many? 8, 9 years now. That's what made me write it. I'm quite a simple person. I don't have great skills. I'm a good actress. But I just had this one feeling that I had things that I felt people should know, and they wouldn't know unless I told them, and I would have to tell them in a way that would be very clear, would be unequivocal, but would be friendly.
Bravo. The documentary premiere was received by a full theatre and ovation. The rest of the guests are also expected to receive a similar welcome. And it's thanks to this loving audience and buzzing scene that the Athens International Film Festival is steadily growing into an essential rendezvous point for filmmakers and movie fans alike. For Monocle in Athens, this is Natalie Savarikas.
Thank you, Natalie. The Athens Film Festival runs until the 1st of October. Still to come, we will sit down with this year's winner of the Golden Bear at the Berlin Film Festival, that's Ildikó Ényedi, as her winning title, On Body and Soul, hits theatres. But first, a look at what the movie presses are reporting this week. The Hollywood Reporter has an article out detailing a closed-door meeting between a top executive at the Dalian Wanda Group and the company's various partners in Hollywood. The report suggests that Chinese billionaire Wang Jianlin is eager to reassure stakeholders that he's committed to the film business amid fears that the company might scale down its entertainment operations following scrutiny from the Chinese government. Wang has in the past spoken of his hopes to buy a major Hollywood studio, though he's since focused his plans on China's domestic business. And Variety reports that Paramount is mulling a film centered around the former president, Theodore Roosevelt. Leonardo DiCaprio is attached to star in the lead role, with Martin Scorsese on board as director. Roosevelt enjoyed a successful career in the Navy before being thrust into the presidency following the assassination of William McKinley. This is The Cinema Show. Stay tuned. The Hungarian filmmaker Ildikó Enyedi was a darling of the Cannes Film Festival in 1989, taking home the Golden Camera for My 20th Century. Her latest film, On Body and Soul, has been hailed as a return, having won the Golden Bear at this year's Berlin Film Festival. The film tells the unusual story of two people who discover that they share the same dream and seem to meet up with each other in their sleep. As the film hits cinemas here in the United Kingdom, I sat down with its director, Ildikó Enyedi.
Two people are struck with such a shocking revelation by pure chance that they just can't continue their life the same way they had before. They realize that for a while already, they share every night the same dreams. And they work at the same workplace, and they just, after such a revelation, can't get back to work the next morning and say, oh, hi, and continue to work the same way. They have to do something with that. And from that reaction comes something else and something else, and they are just led outside of their shelter into the sun and the wind and the world, and they discover each other, they discover themselves, and they discover the richness of the world around them. But it's not easy.
No, indeed. Tell me about the role of dreams then, because that's the plot device that you've used in this film. And yet, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking that it could have taken many different guises, I suppose. You could have been expressed in many different ways. Why did you focus on dreams? Was there something specific about dreams that really fascinated you or that has fascinated you for a long time?
Every night when you go to sleep, you can decide that, okay, I won't have certain sort of dreams. You just can't. In your dreams, you will be fully yourself without restraints. You will live through those very wild adventures fully. This is what you don't have in your waking hours. And this is what is so attractive in those very important moments of your life, and that you are there fully present. And this sort of big luxury you have every night. That sort of luxury I wished for my two protagonists. This is something, for example, every animal has, even if they decide not to have. They are just fully and completely present in the moment, every single moment of their life. And there's one more thing what I find amazing about dreams, about the process of dreaming, that you get in direct contact with a layer of yourself, which you can get in contact so rarely, what Jung described as, I hope that's the English term, common unconscious, a layer where we communicate effortlessly with each other, something we share with everybody, with all humanity. So somehow, even if it seems a very lonely thing to dream, and your dreams are only yours, somehow you tap into this big ocean of what connects you to other people and not to that divides you from them. So I think it's a very elementary and very important function.
It's interesting the way that you've expressed that in your film as well, because if I think back to how dreams are expressed in many other different films, I suppose the most famous example would be The Wizard of Oz, wouldn't it? Where the dream is not only the entire plot or the great majority of it, but it's both beautiful and it's terrifying at the same time, and that, of course, is the whole point. But if you look at other expressions of dreams in cinema, often they're either very, very beautiful and a way of escaping whatever the horrible events in reality are, or they are very, very terrifying for some particular reason integral to the plot. You've presented in a little bit more, it relates a lot more to how the characters really are relating to each other
And maybe it even says more about how the people are relating to each other and our shared responsibility with how we treat each other. Am I on the right track? Is that what your film is getting at here?
Yes, yes, very much. In fact, we put a big effort to show the ears, which are the dreamlike counterparts of our main heroes, these beautiful, enigmatic, metaphorical, these so charged animals, just simple, real animals. And this wood around them, this winter wood and snow, not like a wood of the dreams, but a real wood with real wind, with real freezing cold. And these animals are just doing very, very everyday things. They are looking for food. They are freezing a bit. They are drinking, walking around, and having a very intimate relationship with each other. In fact, what I told at the start of the film to my colleagues, the dream, the wood, should be really real, realistic. And what we show as reality, the daylight life, is a tiny bit more constructed. Because there, I really didn't want to have any sort of perceivable style for the film. It would have suffocated the whole thing. But, you know, when you hear a noise, for example, in the apartment of Maria, our main hero, who lives on a very high floor, there is just the wind and the birds around her, and from the distance, the murmur of the many people living in this big town. It should be a realistic sound, but it should mean a tiny bit more. It should say a bit also about the loneliness, the being apart from the others, and somehow every tiny element in the film, in the wake-up life, is a tiny bit more. It's not just natural. It's not documented. It's constructed.
That's Ildikó Ényeri there, director of On Body and Soul, which won the Golden Bear at this year's Berlin Film Festival. It's out now in cinemas. Up next, we'll find out why Kosovo is attracting the attention of animation professionals with a clever little festival. This is The Cinema Show. Stay tuned. Fans of the legendary Japanese auteur Akira Kurosawa might first remember him for his classic action films, but he was equally appreciated for his stunning dramas too. Mubi has a welcome reminder for us this week with 1951's The Idiot, starring two of Japan's best-known actors, Setsuko Hara and Toshiro Mifune. And the retrospective focusing on the work of Chilean filmmaker Pablo Larraín continues with the psychological satire Tony Manero. Plus, before she became one of the driving forces behind the classic television series Sex and the City, Nicole Hilofsena was impressing critics with her New York set drama Walking and Talking in 1996. In 2010, she picked up her witty screenwriting career with Please Give, which she also directed. They're just some of the films playing on Mubi right now. Sample a month for free by heading over to mubi.com/monocle. That's MUBI/monocle. Kosovo might not be the first place that springs to mind when you think about international animation events, but over the past 7 years, the Anibar Festival has become one of Southeast Europe's biggest draws. It takes place in the city of Pech, also known as Peja to its ethnic Albanian majority, and its founders were teenagers when they started it all. Now they're hoping they can spark the animation industry in Kosovo and revitalize their home city too, taking over a long-closed cinema and turning it into a cultural hub. Monocle's Guy Delaunay joined Anibar co-founder Vulnet Saneya for a guide to the festival and its base in the city.
Welcome to the Yusuf Garwala cinema, which is located in Peja, and we shall go inside to see the building and the cinema. Thank you for joining us today.
When was the cinema built?
The cinema was built in early 50s. It was called, during that time, Kinorad, which is the workers' cinema.
And what is it now, this place?
This is now the headquarters of Anibar International Animation Film Festival, and the staff that is trying also to revitalize this building, because at the moment it's nearly passive, and it is the only cinema in the city, and actually the nearest cinema is 84 kilometers away.
Anibar is quite possibly the biggest cultural force in this part of Kosovo. The team have a vision of the annual festival as a focal point, offering the city's young people a reason to stay in Pech. Not bad, considering Vullnet Sanaya and the other organisers were teenagers themselves when they started.
Anibar started as a festival, and as an animation film festival, which on its first edition screened actually 80 films from all around the world, which we collected by contacting many people and making sure that they don't know our age. And so we actually like gathered all of these films, and then we screened them. We got the permission, because most of the films during that time were like screening illegally. They just don't get the permission, they screen. So we try to do the things like in the right way. And then we screened 80 films for 4 days, and then actually it rolled.
I have to tell you.
Stop it! Just stop it! All of you!
How important was it to get an event like this going in terms of the cultural life of the city?
For us, it was like really important to like start something that also don't have any products of culture in their lives throughout the year. And so what we do is that we start actually what the need is for, and we start a festival.
And why animation? Why does animation light your imagination and make you want to hold a festival based around it?
I will give for the simple question, because we love it.
If you, Timula, were fragments of eternity, peace.
Animation is like really captivating. It can present a matter or like an issue really easily through animation, and everyone actually can understand it. Animation for us, it's also like really important, because you, through learning to animate, you actually learn so many things. I mean, you can learn photographing, you can learn like lighting, you can learn, you become a master of, let's say, every art and art form, because you can learn how to paint, you can learn like how to compose music and like put the sounds. There are people that we have had in our workshops who've gone through the workshops, and then they actually learned one ability that helped them make the animation, but then they also started producing other stuff like illustrations and other art forms, because it's a way that you can learn. Like,
Mother!
Good morning, son.
What are your favorite things that you've had on at the festival?
The favorite things, I would say, come from when people enjoy the achievements that they make throughout the process. I mean, our volunteers making, improvising, creating this beautiful cinema on top of a lake. On the end, you have this end result, which looks like beautiful, but also the whole process. I mean, like the socializing and also like building up something together. That's what would be my favorite things about the festival.
I know what you are doing, you vile boar.
Why don't you try this boar?
People coming can see films on a boat, from on a lake. They can also watch films near a city park, which is like really beautiful. We also have a camp, which provides accommodation for people. And then we have concerts, 7 nights of concerts, different music. Really good music, usually. Yeah. On the ground!
If you fancy visiting the Anabar Festival, sorry, you'll have to wait until next August, because this year's 8th edition has just finished. And from a quick Skype catch-up with Vulnet after the event, it sounds like it was the best yet.
I mean, we've had all sorts of activities during the festival. We've had coffee and talks where filmmakers come and tell their experiences about how it was to create their films. We've had presentations like Aya Suzuki, the master of anime, came to Anibar to give a masterclass on her work. She has worked in a Ghibli studio amongst other studios, and it was one of the most interesting presentations that we've had in a while.
Why don't you try this porridge, Winston? So happy to see you, Winston. Good night, Winston. Hello there, Winston. Hello, Winston, 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 Winston!
I mean, we've never received as many emails as this year for, like, interest of people of joining the festival and, like, attending overall. When we see from the number of films that have applied, there has been like 2,700 films, which like the biggest festivals in Europe actually get the same number of films applying. We definitely see that there's a potential for further development and like the festival being even raised, but this year we saw that we've had more people attending the festival.
What's more, the activities and screenings are set to continue all year, now Anabar have control of the local cinema. Now that's animation. For Monocle, in Pech, or Peya, I'm Guy Delaunay.
Guy Delaunay there, meeting Anibar Animation Festival co-founder Vulnet Saneya. That's all for this week's program. Today's show was edited and mixed by Christy Evans and researched by Yolene Goffin. The Cinema Show, of course, is back next week. I'm Ben Ryland. Thank you for listening.